Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Hallelujah. I've had several thoughts and things that I've spoken to you many times before, and I've always begun by telling you that's really nothing I can say when you're speaking to those whom the Lord has given the greatest trust. And that is the carrying a child in the womb. We men today, and all of us women involved in this place, are all, results of someone loving us to carry us full term in their bellies and allowing God to produce from them the miracle of our lives. Can you say amen? I am thankful for my mother. It's been a few years now that she is no longer with us. But I had the privilege of being her pastor for 16 years here at Rock of Ages. And I still look sometimes, some miracle I could see at least something that would resemble her in that little chair that she sat. And I can still, in the midst of our worship, and though she didn't understand the English worship we sang, I could still hear her scream, say hallelujah, a very distinct voice. And I think that every little chick hears the chicken's voice, and they identify again that little chirp. And I heard her voice for many years, and I missed that. And so I'm thankful, though. I'm thankful for a godly mother. You know, godly mothers are scarce today. Godly mothers are really scarce today. And for this reason, I believe without reservation that and again, this is not a blame situation, but a fact situation. This is not saying it's all your fault, but it's a result or one of the effects that the lack of godly women have on this world. And we see today that the family institution is probably the most destroyed and quickly dissolving institution in this world. You know, marriages are falling apart right and left. And I wish I could just say outside of the church, but in the church, they're falling apart. All over the plains of this earth, husbands and wives are falling apart. And I believe that there's only one reason. I don't care if they say we've got to go out there and find ourselves or this and the other. He's not meeting this or she's not meeting that. But you know what? It's a lack of godliness. I'm going to call it what I really believe it is. It's a lack of godliness. It's a lack of knowing whom you can trust in times that are dire in your relationship. It's a lack of allowing God to mold that heart of gold and God and love inside of you that will be that element that will stick two hearts together for life unto death, as we say every time we come to this altar. But we don't use that Jesus glue anymore. And for this very reason, because we don't use amongst husbands and wives this Jesus glue, we see marriages falling apart. And so I pray today in Jesus' name that that would not be you. That would not be you, and that you would cling on to God today, and that the Lord would give you again the love and the tenacity to endure us. You know, we're quite the challenge, men. And all the men said amen. I was thinking as I was walking up here before I began to speak to you. I remember preaching in the neighborhood of this same passage in Scripture and speaking the same things which you'll find along the way. They give women certain strengths and authority. And as I was getting off the pulpit after service, I was encountered by a gentleman back there. And he said, Pastor... And he had one eyebrow, you know, that look. He said, Pastor? I said, hey, brother, how you doing? He said, well, I'm a little upset with you. I said, really? Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. What did I do? He goes, well, you know, that sermon that you preached. I said, yes, sir. He goes, I really disapprove and disagree with what you said. I said, really? Well, correct me, brother. You know, good leaders begin by being good followers, so... What did I do wrong? He said, you're giving women too much authority. You're giving women too much authority. And at that very moment, his wife said, let's go, it's late. Well, I got to go, I'll talk to you later. Isn't it that way? I came across a little article a few years ago, and I've given it to you before, but maybe some of you have not heard this, but this is cute, and I like it. You know you're a mother when you want to take out a contract on the kid who broke your child's favorite toy and made him or her cry. You know you're a mother when you have time to shave only one leg. You know you're a mother when you hide in the bathroom just to be alone for a moment. You know you're a mother when your child throws up and you catch it with your hand. You know you're a mother when someone else's kids throw up at the party and you keep eating as if nothing. You know you're a mom when you consider finger paint to be a controlled substance. You know you're a mother when you can't bear the thought of your son's first girlfriend. You know you're a mother when you hate the thought of his wife even more. You know you're a mom when you clean your child's face with your own saliva. You know you're a mother when you stop criticizing the mother who raised you. You know you're a mother when at least once a day you say, you know, I'm just not cut out for this. But you know you wouldn't trade it for the world. A mother. What can we say about a mother? So many things we can say. But today I'd like to focus, if I can, just for a moment, just on those godly traits that make a godly woman. As I said, there are many moms in this world, but there are fewer godly mothers. And when we have godly mothers, I really believe, whether you realize it or not, and even those who don't practice and serve the Lord, don't realize what an impact you are in the lives of men, children, and this world. In many, 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 many ways, I am the man that I am because of my mother. Us men, we realize and recognize that the mother served both as father and mother in the home while having a job. You don't believe that, but you can see immediately that when a child gets into trouble, he does not first look for his father. He looks for his mother. I remember years ago, I'm not a football watcher, I'm not a sportsman, obviously, and certainly not the epitome of a good athlete. But I'll never forget this one picture I have in my mind I saw on television while there was a football game going on. And a young man, those 300 pounders that they use, ran and he did a good play. And I don't know if it was a touchdown or whatever he did, but they put the camera on him when he was running down the sideline to the bench to rest after that great play. He turns around and he had taken his helmet off and he looks up to the stands and he goes, and you can read his lips. He was shouting out to his mom because he made a touchdown. The impact that a mom has is incredible. It's incredible. It's life-changing. It's life-transforming. It's life-molding. And again, I need to say, in between all these positive things that I say and important things that I say, that how sad it is when a mom dislocates and disengages herself from the lives of those whom God has given her responsibility over. I've written several things this morning, and I'm actually in a wrestle today because I really did not know what I was going to preach. And so I picked this sermon because it's familiar to me, something I've spoken to you time and time again over the years. because the truth still remains the same. In the Bible, we have testimony after testimony of what a godly mother is, and women that really made a difference in the world that they lived in. And I'm praying today that somehow this short message I have for you would kind of impress in your heart the importance of you becoming that godly mother, that God is willing to recognize such as these in biblical order. I'm so impressed with some of these women. And I can see that all of us in this place, knowing that they are no different than us, than you, if they were able to do these things and do exceptional things unto God, I know that in this house we have such quality of women that can do the same. I love the picture of the mother of Moses who cared so much for her son that she challenged the law of the day in order to teach her son godly traits and faith in God. At one point at the end of their relationship, she stopped fearing for her own life enough to suffer the pain of separation as she surrendered her son Moses into the arms of the Nile, a drifting river. What love! We see that sacrificial love and of that mother that came before King Solomon after her own son had been stolen while one had died. And at the point of the king wanting to separate them by a sword, she cried out, "No, let the baby live. Let this woman take my son." All because she could not bear the thought that the child of her womb would be hurt. Then you have the mother of James and John, who loved her boys so much that she wanted the best for them. She wanted them to sit at the right hand of God, enough to stand before the Lord and make the petition. The mother of King Lemuel, whom we know so much in Proverbs 31, whom he describes as a mother that is worthy so much more than the worth of pearls. She loved him. You know, I'm aware that today it's Mother's Day, and I know it's difficult for some of us in this house, some of us ladies. Maybe some of you want to be a mother, but for some reason you can't. You've been praying that the Lord would give you a son, but for some reason that gift is holding back. Have hope. God is faithful. Perhaps some of you have not had the best mother in the world. You suffered at her hands. Instead of her being a godly mother, she was quite the contrary. And you suffered while at home. You waited till that age where you could make your move, and so you left. And so there's hurt feelings in your heart. Some of you today have had mothers who have gone off into eternity, such as I. And so today, both being a joyful day, it's still a somber day because you remember the warmth of your mother's embrace. Some of you moms here have suffered on your own as you have lost a child. And you've wept. You don't understand why, but all you know that there is a gouge in your heart so deep that nothing can seem to cover. Some of you mothers here may have wayward children who are running off and doing things they shouldn't. And to your pain, you try to plead with them, and yet they're not listening. They're still out there doing what they should not, and you're weary. And your heart is filled with pain. And then we have the single mom, whom by force you have to serve both mother and father roles. And you're working that job, and sometimes too, just to meet the needs of the children that you were left with. And you do that even with pain, but in your heart there is joy because you know that you are called to be a good provider for those whom you love. If you fit in any one of these circles I have drawn, I want to tell you with all of my heart that God honors you today. And He is aware of your position every moment. He watches your going in and he watches your going out. You are not forgotten. You are honored today in the presence of the Lord. And we today, the church, honor you by saying happy, happy Mother's Day. As I said, in the Bible, we have women of great testimonies. And I want us to look at just a couple of things this morning, just to encourage you. I want to leave time for all of these men around you to take you out to lunch and treat you well today. But just to give you something that I want to impress upon you and hopefully somehow encourage you to embrace motherhood with that much more tenacity, if you will, that much more dedication, because we need you. We need you. What makes a mother godly? What develops a godly mother's heart? I say to you, first of all, it's her measure of faith. Her measure of faith. The Bible teaches us about a mom that succeeds in her life because she had unrelenting hope and faith in her God. This woman was a woman of the Lord that whatever her situation was, she overlooked her position and still hoped in the Lord. And such is the mother who by name is Sarah, the mother of Isaac, the son of promise. Those of us who know her story know that she was well beyond childbearing age when the Lord would come to visit her tent and spoke to Abraham that he would be the father of a son of covenant. And to him, I'm sure, was a surprise, but even more so to Sarah, who was listening at a distance. She heard that God would say, I will give you a son, and she laughed. Who is that talking to my husband who said, I, Sarah, would have a child? He must be thinking, Abraham is married to some 25-year-old. He must be thinking that Abraham is married to some young woman. I'm beyond childbearing age. I am an old woman. So she laughs, I believe, as if to cover her embarrassment. But then she realized this was the Lord, as the Lord gently rebuked her. When he showed his face to her and he said, are you laughing, Sarah? She didn't realize it was her Lord. And reminder of something I want to remind every woman in this place. And those are the words of the Lord. Whenever you find yourself in a position or a situation that seems laughable to you, I'll never get out of this. This will never fix. I'll never overcome this. I'll never make it here or there. I want you to hear the words of the Lord that he gave Sarah. He said, is there anything too difficult for the Lord? Is there anything too difficult for me, Sarah? Do I hear you laughing? Are you mocking? Is it your lack of faith or are you forgetful of who I am? Where were you when I created the stars? Where were you when I put every star in its sockets? Where were you when I put a line around the waters of the world and gave them the measure of their extensions? Where were you when I filled every fowl of the earth's heart with a new song every morning? Where were you when I pushed the winds to flow west, east, south, or north? Is there anything too difficult for God? And she realized that it was her God that was talking to her. And she had hope. She had hope. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 that she had hope. And Abraham had hope beyond hope. And every single one of us in this place, every woman and man in this place needs to, all of us need to know that there's nothing difficult for God. You only need to hope. And it becomes a personal hope that all of us have to have. Because if you'll have hope in God, you, like Sarah, will get to that day when you too will say, just like she did in Genesis 21 and 6, God has made me to laugh. God has made me to rejoice. And all who will hear that God performed a miracle in my life will laugh with me. Can you imagine the neighborhood? I think she's thinking that, hey, that Sarah, the wife of Abraham, would be nursing a child at her breast. And sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, things seem so difficult that you cannot imagine, that you cannot put together in your mind or wrap your head around the thought that what you're looking at is impossible that it ever come to pass. But the Bible says that those who hope in the Lord will not be dismayed. You just need to have hope. And sometimes I understand for our single mothers here, and even for our moms with husbands, it's not about hope you find in me. It's not about hope you find in your husband alone. It's hope that you learn to have yourself. That very same hope that David teaches us about. David understood that when he was going through those troubles, he knew that in the desert a pulpit would be hard to find. In the desert and in trouble, an encouraging sermon would be hard to find. Sarah knew that in her troubles, she knew that churches were hard to find. Friends were hard to find. Support was hard to find. And friends that would help you and give you an encouraging word would be hard to find. Someone to lay hands on you and pray for you would be hard to find. Someone to speak a kind word to you would be hard to find. And so she embraced hope herself. And so every one of us in this place, every lady in this place, let me say, sometimes when it comes to hope, you just have to learn to preach to yourself. You have to learn to speak to yourself and believe in God even while the world around you decides to turn away from you and not believe what you are believing in. Sarah put her hope in her God. The second thing that makes a godly mother is her commitment to God. But let me add, on behalf of her family. Her commitment to God, not only for herself, but because she understands that what overflows in her commitment to God will bleed into the lives of those in her home. We've seen and find in Scripture where commitment has raised the value of motherhood. I go again to the mother of Moses, Jochebed. Again, we see a commitment to serve the Lord, a commitment to have her children be embraced by God, doing anything and everything to guarantee that her son would have a chance to be molded by the very hands of the God she knew. She took that newborn son and surrendered him into the arms of the Nile in efforts of saving his life, even at the risk of losing her own. She had a no surrender, no retreat attitude. The king of Egypt, she said in her heart, may kill many children, but he will not kill my son. And how we need mothers, ladies and gentlemen, today. Especially those of us, please, let me give you a gentle rebuke. Especially the parents today who allow their children to run off and live their own lives behind the false facade of saying, oh, it's just a phase they're going through. Let me tell you that the Lord of the Flies, the devil himself, is not playing with babies that are going through a phase. His intention is not to simply entertain them. And when they're old enough and smart enough, they'll come to church and serve the Lord, if that's what you're thinking. You can't bring a son back when he's in a casket. You can't bring a son back when he's 20, doing 20 in life. You can't bring a son after a car wreck because he's been out there drunk, because it was just a phase he was going through. Es hombre. Tiene que estirarse, déjalo. Let them experience life, and you allow that. You see, Jochebed was not going to allow that. She was not going to allow the king of Egypt to lay a hand on her child. She embraced him and she protected him at the risk of losing her own life. And she sent him off into the running river, believing that at the other end would be a God to scoop her son up and mold him into the godly man she and God wanted him to be. Oh, how we need women like mothers of Moses, who go beyond their comfort zone and stop being simple friends to their children, old ladies to their children, and start being mothers. Unafraid to mess up their nails. Unafraid to face the challenge of a kid that wants to pull away, but she strengthens herself to embrace him and keep him close. Unafraid to mess up her hair in the midst of a wrestle. Unafraid to be criticized by neighbors. Look, man, they deal with those poor kids with an iron scepter. Well, it may be so, but me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. I said, me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. How we need mothers like the mother of Moses. We have also the mother of Samuel, Hannah, who also received her son from God with the promise of giving her son over to him as a living sacrifice, that he would serve him. You know, we come and dedicate our babies, ladies and gentlemen. When we have babies, we come and dedicate those babies and say, well, Lord, we commit this baby into your hands. We pray that, Lord, you would just repel every sickness and keep them safe. And all these things we say, and we speak to the parents, the young parents, and say, listen, your baby is like clay in your hands. They will learn to pray like you. They will learn to read God's word like you. They will learn to come to church like you. They will learn to treat people with respect like you. They will learn to pray and fast and take communion like you. They will learn everything as you teach them. This is exactly what Hannah did. Today, giving your child to God is maybe not coming and dropping him off in my office and say, there he is, Pastor, do whatever you want with him, and we nurse him and grow him and make him an altar worker, if you will. It's not that way. Not the same thing. But it's making sure that when we come up to this altar to dedicate a baby, how many of us have come to dedicate a baby only to let him go and let him run wild? And there's proof that that happens. Look beyond the walls of this church. And so we need Hannahs again, ladies, who will embrace their children and give them to God. And as if you've dedicated those babies, then you sit down and you dedicate your life to make sure that the imprint of Jesus is deep in their hearts. Samuel grew up to be a prophet, of whom today we hear so much of and learn so much. And of course we have Mary, the mother of Jesus, who I don't have to say much. And finally this morning, just one more thing. I said I was going to be short, and I still have a chance to redeem myself. What makes a godly mother is her consciousness of inner beauty. Inner beauty. King Lemuel writes in Proverbs 31:30, he said, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. You know, when the Lord chose Mary to be the mother incarnate of Jesus, it wasn't that she was really nice looking. It's that he found a beautiful vessel worthy of her son. Today we live in a world of aesthetics. A superficial surrounding. And again, I want to be careful because I don't want anybody coming next week with your hair like all done and wearing your mopping clothes and stuff like that. I want to be tender, but I think you'll understand what your pastor's trying to say to you. We live in a world of aesthetics. Look at television. They're selling you makeup all the time. The doctor's trying to pull your skin back and forth. They're trying to put things in your body that make you look more We're on social media, man. I wonder why there's no commercials that say, "Let us work on your inner beauty." Because they don't care about your inner beauty. I wonder why there is no commercial that says, you know, forget about the makeup. You know, makeup is the last thing you want to work on. You want to work on who you are on the inside. Call Maybelline. They work on your hearts. Now, they don't do that. They don't care. This whole world today is so enveloped in looking good. And I understand that all of us nice to look well and fit and trim and this and the other. But when that becomes a passion and your only passion, then you think that that exterior or external part of you is what's going to get you through in life or even give you a testimony of being godly, you're wrong. You're wrong. That's what this world is filled with. Externals. The Bible says that charm is deceitful. How many people, how many men today have fallen in love with a woman that's beautiful only to find out when they open the package, oh! And vice versa. Oh, some of you ladies are looking, what a hottie, yeah. And you open the package. Ah! It's a monster. Someone you don't know. Someone you don't understand. Who are you? Well, I'm a product of aesthetics. I believe that in Jesus would speak to us today personally, he would probably say, why don't you just call them what they are? They're whitewashed tombs. A whitewashed tomb is a beautiful place to look at. There are so many cemeteries that are gorgeous. You look at them and they're marble and Italian. The people who have money ship in things to make that place gorgeous, and people admire. People travel all over the world to see cemeteries and tombs because they are so well decorated. But they forget that just under that is a dead person. What makes a godly mother? It's a mother who works on her inside, who understands that being beautiful is not having the perfect skin or you know how to work the perfect colors, but that when you speak, beauty comes out. And when you conduct yourself with other people, they see beauty come out. And when you embrace your children, they see beauty come out. When you embrace your husband, they see beauty come out. Doesn't matter if you just woke up at 6 or 7 or 10 or 11 in the morning for some of you. You haven't done your hair or anything else, but still your husband can look at you and beauty comes out. You're working at home and your children come home and they look at you and they see that you're tired and your hair is hanging, and you look at them and they come to you and they see beauty flow out. Our children aren't going to remember what shades fit us best, but they will remember your godly heart. They will remember how you loved them, how you prayed for them, how you embraced him. Your husband will forget you during the day unless he knows that he's been embraced by a woman who honors and loves God. All the aesthetics are deceitful. Trust me. I remember I was 25. I didn't know I'd be. And I used to get invited to be one of the shepherd boys in a Christmas program. Now that I'm 63, I get invited to become the turkey in a Thanksgiving program. Externals are deceitful. Ladies, today, let's work on the inside. Let's let God change us on the inside. Let's work on that, and you'll see that your home will become warm, that people around you will begin to respect and embrace you with the same warmth. It's no time to be bitter, no time. Let's stop lying to ourselves and saying that, well, the better I look, the more people will like me. No, they'll only like you until the makeup comes off. They'll only like you until that external beauty falls off and they see inside who you are. And you say, oops, nope, that's not going to happen. The woman from Proverbs is, wow, she's commented so much is said about that woman. Can I say this one last thing? And I say all of this, again, I want to be conscious that in this house we have women who both work and are home. But there's something about the woman in Proverbs 31 that really catches my mind. Would you put Proverbs 31, guys, up there? I don't have it in my notes here. And I really want to press down this particular thing. And I'm going to tell you why. Because in this world today, let me tell you something. The devil is out to get our children. Did you hear me? The devil is really out to get our children. Can I have Proverbs 31 up there, guys? He's out, just like in Germany, just like in all these places that brought nations to the ground, they begin with the young people. They begin suppressing our young people, getting them involved in all of this. Let's read. Let me read this to you. I'm just going to break up because I want to prove one point, Amos, or just, again, just give you one point. The sayings of King Lemuel and inspired utterance his mother taught him. Proverbs 31:1. Listen, my son, listen, son of my womb, listen, my son, and answer to my prayers. Do not spend your strength on women. your vigor on those who ruin kings. It is not for kings, Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor the rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Let beer be for those who are perishing and wine for those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves or for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. The wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it out of her earrings. She plants a vineyard, earnings rather. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She seems that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand she holds a distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. And when it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed and she's clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes a seat amongst the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her with all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Wow. Some of you women work so hard, and you should not feel dishonor in that, because you're a great help to provide for the table of our home. Us men need to appreciate those who have the 8-hour, 10-hour jobs, those who are nurses, those who are working professional fields that come home tired. Don't be ashamed of that, because you're not a stay-home mom. And those of you that are stay-home mom, don't be ashamed, because you're not working out there in the labor and corporate field. This woman we just read about says a lot of things I could have broken today and give you a 6-week, 7-week series. But you'll find that there is trust in the heart of her husband or his wife, because he knows she loves him. He has deposited every ounce of trust in her, because he knows that her desire is for him to be blessed. She's not embarrassed. He's not embarrassed when she goes out, because she knows she won't do anything evil that is going to embarrass his name. In fact, he said that he is honored. He finds respect at the city gate because of the wife he has. Oh, it's a terrible thing to lose trust amongst husbands and wives. I've counseled many in that position, and it's sad to know that trust is given to you fresh at the beginning. But when you lose that trust, sometimes we will live together for the next 30, 40 years, and that trust will never be enjoyed again like it was when it was new. This is why the scripture says in the book of Malachi, we should never break the faith with the wife of our youth. Why? Because once you do, you may never get it back again. Her children rise up and call her blessed, because they see that faithfulness amongst husband and wife. They see the warmth of their home. They call her blessed because they see her feed them on time. And when it's cold, she works with her hands to clothe them and keep them warm. And they rise up thankful because the elements do not reach their bodies. She's also smart and intellectually prepared when it comes to finance and investments. And she sees things and she purchases them. And she sells them and she makes finances for the home. She's not an idle woman that just sits at home watching novelas, watching General Hospital, One Life to Live, watching the TV show. She's not sitting there idle. Her house is clean. Her house is prepared for when her husband comes home, when her children come home. She's prepared. One thing I see in this whole passage is that I know that she works and I know that she's tired. But one thing I believe that work has been allowed to take from the minds of women is the priority of family. Just because you work does not mean you forget the family. Family is always priority, ladies. Please, I'm not scolding you. I'm just trying to help you regain what I believe the enemy is so tremendously trying to destroy: our families. The men work, and sometimes we come home and just throw our boots in the living room and go and lay down and expect everybody to do things around you. It's not that way at all. Men who work never forget the responsibility of their sons and daughters and wife. Because of the demand that we have here in this world, that it requires sometimes two incomes just to make it, trust me, I understand. But we can never, as Christians, we can never lose sight that even though we have to go into a competitive world just to have what little we have today, it does not give us license to forget the upbringing and rearing of family. That is the priority. That is your first job. Sometimes they say that a woman's place is in the home. And in today's world of equality, somebody would slap me right now. How dare you, Pastor? You diminished the value of women. Ah, shut up. I don't diminish the value of women. I'm just trying to bring you back to your senses. We have priorities in life, both men and women do. And there are some things, ladies, that only you can do. We can't do it. I saw a picture one day of a whole bunch of people standing in line, and there was this one guy just like me wearing a red t-shirt that says baby on board, and it was pointing down with an arrow. And I saw the t-shirt on the guy. Like, what? He can't have no kids. Even though the world today is trying to tell you that men are having babies, shut up. Please. Humor me with something else. But there are some things that only women can do. And one thing you can do that we can never neglect is to keep sight of your family. Do everything you can to be a good mom. All the yelling at the kids and yelling at the husband and all the discord that there might could be. I'm not saying there is. But should that rise up, remember, you are valued in the eyes of God as worth more than rubies. And today I know it's very hard to be a mom. You're a financial officer, you're a correctional officer, you're a confidant, you're a help, you know how to fix broken little airplanes, and you know how to do everything. And we honor you for that today. You are certainly worth more than rubies to us all. I stand thankful today, just encouraging you what a godly mother really is. Let us not fall into the grooves of this world where women are just having their kids and running them wild. Their families are falling apart. Let us be that woman of Proverbs.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.